Good morning, everyone. It is Friday, July 21st, 2017. This is another episode of the Packers Podcast. My name is Michael Cohen, beat writer for the Milwaukee Journal Sentinel, and unfortunately, I am not joined, as always, by fellow beat reporter Bob McGinn. Now, as most of you know, earlier this summer, Bob made the choice to step away from the Journal Sentinel after a tremendous and lengthy career. He wants to spend some more time with his family, spend some more time with his wife, and they're actually going to be moving out of Green Bay and back to his native Michigan here in the fall. So what does that mean for this Packers podcast? Well, some of that is still up in the air, and we're going to figure it out as the next couple of months go on. But one thing that we decided was during training camp, we're going to bring you a daily podcast every morning that you can download to your phone, listen to, and it will catch you up on all the news of the previous day, what the coaches said, what the players said, any injury updates, and any stories that we've written that we think are worthwhile to discuss. It's going to be very brief. It's going to be about 12 minutes, 10 minutes, something in that neighborhood, just something that you can listen to in the morning while you're making breakfast, while you're eating breakfast, driving to work. It gets you what you need to know about the Packers every single day, Monday through Friday, during training camp. So for those of you that have this podcast set up so that it downloads to your phone automatically, or for those of you that listen online, start to get in the habit of checking every Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, and Friday. Like I said, right now it is Thursday, July 20th, and right after this weekend, starting Monday morning, we'll get rolling with this every single day because training camp does start next week. I can't believe it. My summer vacation was not long enough, although it was fun. I got a chance to go to Italy with my best friend, and that was a blast, and then I got a chance to spend some time with my family back in Connecticut, which is always a highlight of the summer for me. Now, what are we going to talk about on this podcast? Well, training camp is about a week away. Actually, I think it's exactly a week away. And my colleague Ryan Wood and I, I'll get that right eventually, we've been breaking down the different positions over the last few days, and we're going to continue to do so through the start of training camp. We're looking at every position one by one, breaking it down player by player, giving you an idea of where the depth chart stands, what the different storylines are going to be, and what sort of roster you can expect in terms of numbers of guys at each position. So what kinds of things am I looking for when camp gets started next week? Well, I got a list here of five things that I'm really interested in right off the bat, and one of them is Brett Hundley. You know, the backup quarterback to Aaron Rodgers, because this is a guy that last summer, it was supposed to be his summer. You know, Aaron Rodgers was not going to participate in any of the exhibition games or a very small portion of them. And so Brett Hundley was going to get his chance to shine. He was going to get all the reps. He was going to get all the work with the wide receivers. And he was going to get all the work commanding the huddle, commanding the offense. But then Brett Hundley suffers an ankle injury, and all of a sudden he is out for, you know, the majority of training camp. And the summer of Brett Hundley, as I wrote in my story, turns into the summer of Joe Callahan. So why does all of this matter? Well, it matters because Brett Hundley is going into the second to last year on his rookie contract. In other words, year three of a four-year deal. And that's significant because everybody knows, and I'm sure Hundley knows himself, that his future, barring some sort of devastating injury to Aaron Rodgers, is not in Green Bay. His immediate future has to be somewhere else if he wants to compete for a starting job. So this exhibition season and this training camp and even the work that he gets in the regular season during practice is huge for Brett Hundley, because any trade value that he may have is going to be built and stockpiled this year. The Packers do not want to take him into the 2018 season on their roster if their goal is to trade him. Why? Because if he's on the roster in 2018, his contract will expire when that season is over, and the Packers won't be able to get any compensation for him if Hundley decides to leave in free agency, which it seems very likely that he will. So this is huge for Brett Hundley because this is the year that will determine his trade value, and then between the end of this season and the beginning of next season, if there's going to be a trade that happens, that's when it will take place, and that's when the Packers will figure out what, if anything, they can get in return for Brett Hundley. So that's the first thing I'm looking for. Number two on my list is the health of Vince Beagle. Now, this was the only pass rusher that the Packers drafted, which was a little bit surprising to me and some of my colleagues as well. I thought that that might be a position they target a little bit more following the departures of Julius Peppers and Dayton Jones. It just seemed to me like That is a lot of production, a lot of experience, and a lot of versatility, because those guys play outside linebacker and they play interior rusher. That's a lot to lose. And Ted Thompson and the coaching staff and the personnel department clearly felt otherwise. And so Vince Beagle, you know, their day three draft pick from Wisconsin, is the guy. Now he comes in and he's ready to go. He's the Wisconsin kid. He's thrilled. It's the opportunity of his lifetime. And unfortunately, he has a foot injury right off the bat, and he has foot surgery in May. And that sidelined him for all of OTAs, all of minicamp, and it's questionable whether or not he'll be ready for the beginning of camp, although it looks like, you know, he's got a chance to be ready within the first couple days if he's not cleared immediately. And why is this training camp so important for him? Well, it's important for him because it's crucial for the outside linebacker position in general. You look at Clay Matthews and Nick Perry, and those guys are absolutely number one and two on the depth chart. If they stay healthy, they're going to play a ton of reps, and they're going to play more reps than anybody else. But what do you have behind that? And this is where Mike McCarthy's comment earlier in the spring about how they have as much depth at outside linebacker as they've had in recent memory. That is just not true. And so Vince Beagle has a chance to finish anywhere from third to sixth on the depth chart, most likely. He could have a great training camp, a great exhibition season, and he could be the number three guy behind Matthews and Perry. That is a very realistic situation. He could also stumble a little bit down to fourth, or he could, down to fourth. He could stumble down to fifth. He could even end up all the way down at sixth. And the other guys he's competing with are Kyler Fackrell, a third-round pick last season, and then you're looking at Jayrone Elliott. Those are the three guys, in addition to Matthews and Perry, that are your five right now that you think are going to be the five that you can trust this season. So he can finish anywhere third, fourth, fifth on that depth chart. And then if one of the undrafted guys, or maybe a guy like Reggie Gilbert, who was on the practice squad all of last season, if one of those players takes a jump up, then all of a sudden Beagle could be looking at six. So first of all, I want to see how healthy is he. How much training camp can he get under his belt, given that he lost the entire spring season? And second, can this guy come in and contribute right away in a particular season when there is wide open depth on this depth chart, wide open slots? I mean, you can land anywhere, as I said, 3 to 6. And that's very unusual because other than Matthews and Perry, nothing is set in stone at all. So all these guys, Fackrell, Elliott, Beagle, Gilbert, even some of the other undrafted guys that they brought in this year, there is opportunity after opportunity after opportunity. So it's a huge training camp for all of them, and especially for Vince Beagle coming off his injury. Now, another storyline I'm interested in has to do with an injury as well. Center Corey Linsley had off-season ankle surgery shortly after the Packers lost in the NFC Championship game last year. And that ankle, you know, well, just in general, Linsley's been snake-bitten by injuries here, you know. He had a torn hamstring last summer that he actually tore multiple times, and it kept him on the PUP list all the way until late October. And now you're talking about off-season ankle surgery. Once again, he can't participate in OTAs. Once again, he can't participate in minicamp. And here we are, approaching training camp, and Mike McCarthy says that Linsley will be ready to go, or should be ready to go, at the beginning of camp. But you never know. I mean, this is a five-week period where these guys are away. They're doing some work on their own. Sometimes they push it too hard. Sometimes they lax a little bit in their rehab or their strengthening. So you never know exactly how a guy is going to look when he reports back to camp at the end of July. Now, why is it important for Corey Linsley, the starting center, to be healthy sooner than later? Well, in the big scheme of things, it's not. Because if Corey Linsley were to not play at all in the exhibition season, but he was ready to go week one, he could practice that Monday through Friday leading up to the first game, there's no question that Corey Linsley would go out on the field and he would probably play a solid game because he's a good player, he's a veteran player, and he's done this a lot. But the reason why I think it's important for him to be healthy sooner than later is because there is almost no depth on the interior of the offensive line, and especially at the center position. You know, right now, if you go to the Packers roster on their website and you sort things by position, he's the only center listed on the entire team. Their backup center right now is Don Barclay, who the coaches all believe he can do the job, and there's nothing to suggest he can't do the job because we haven't seen Don Barclay at center, and in practice, it's not like he was getting pancaked on every snap over and over and over again. So that's your number two center. And then after that, you're looking at probably rookie Kofi Amichia from South Florida, who was a tackle in college but also played a little bit of guard and dabbled early in his college career at center. He's been taking reps all across the board in training camp. So right there, you're talking about, you know, a legitimate center in Corey Linsley and then two guys that are really inexperienced. So if Linsley can get healthy sooner than later, it will really speed up, I think, the development of Barclay and Amichia at this position, because Linsley can be there rep after rep mentoring them every single day. Whereas if he's still rehabbing at the start of camp, you know, he's going to be off with the trainers for part of the session. Then he's going to be coming onto the field. He probably won't be able to do team reps. So it's just a really interesting situation to see what happens with the Packers offense, especially in a game setting, if Linsley is not ready to go at the beginning of training camp. Two more topics really quick here before we reach our allotted time in this brief edition of the Packers podcast that you can now expect moving forward through training camp. Another thing I'm looking at are the 10 draft picks, and this is just a simple math equation here. You have 10 draft picks. The chances of all 10 of them making the 53-man roster are very slim. And in particular, I'm looking at the running back position. They took three running backs in this draft. They took Jamal Williams in the fourth round. They took Aaron Jones in the fifth round. And then they took Devontae Mays in the seventh round. If you asked me right now what is the likelihood of all of those guys making the roster, I would say it's pretty slim. Because don't forget, you have Ty Montgomery. Don't forget, you have Aaron Ripkowski. And you look at that collection of guys, you think Montgomery for sure, Ripkowski for sure, at least one of the rookies for sure, and probably an additional rookie for sure. So are you going to keep more than three running backs and one fullback? I would doubt it. So I think these three running backs in particular are going to be in a huge mathematical position battle to make this roster, as are D'Angelo Yancey and Malachi Dupree, the two receivers the Packers drafted. You look at the bodies in the receivers room, and top to bottom, it might be the deepest unit in terms of guys that can play on the whole team. So the chances of both of them making the roster, that's yet to be seen. So I'm just looking at the roster from a mathematical standpoint, and that's why I think the draft picks are really interesting, because not all of them are going to make the team. I'd be pretty surprised if all 10 ended up on the 53-man roster. And last but not least, piggybacking off that wide receiver list there, I want to see who's playing in the slot. You know, we saw last year Jordy Nelson have some unbelievable success playing out of the slot. We've seen Randall Cobb in the past have tremendous success out of the slot, but not so much in the past 2 years. Now, don't forget, they have Lance Kendricks who can be split out. You have Martellus Bennett who can do things in line and out wide. You know, Geronimo Allison played in the slot at times last year and gave them a different body type with somebody big and tall and with a large catch radius. So Randall Cobb is no question the number one slot receiver, and I'm sure he's going to take the majority of the reps, but I want to see if they're dividing it up a little bit differently and giving other guys a chance to mix in, to sprinkle in, to give some different looks, so that it's not just Cobb every time in the slot. Instead, you've got Cobb for most of the plays, but then there's Nelson for a few, and Kendricks for a few, and Allison for a few, and maybe even Bennett. Maybe even Ty Montgomery splits out of the backfield. I just think there's so many options at that slot position that it's going to be fun for Mike McCarthy and his staff to draw up plays and draw up playing time as the season goes on. So those are the five things I'm looking for going into training camp. This is the brief edition of the Packers podcast. As I mentioned, we're going to make this a daily feature throughout training camp, Monday through Friday, short episodes, 10 to 15 minutes. Listen to it in the morning while you make your breakfast, while you eat your breakfast. We'll catch you up on all the news from the day before, injuries, quotes, storylines, and the things that we have going on JS Online and PackersNews.com. So be sure to check us out every day. Let us know what you think about this new idea and whether we should carry it forward into the regular season. We wish Bob was here. I definitely wish Bob was here, but we know you guys like this podcast, so we wanted to come up with a way to give you something on a regular basis during training camp. My name is Michael Cohen. This is the Packers Podcast. We will see you on Monday.